द्वितीयां च ततामासम् द्वितीयं च ततामासम् षष्टिषष्टे बको दिने षष्टिषष्टे बको दिने त्रिनापानादिभिषेणाय कृतनोऽभ्याचयन् विभुम् द्वितीयं द नेक्स्ट मन्थ् च ओल्सो तथा एस् मेन्शन् अबव् मासं मन्थ् षष्टे षष्टे एव्री सिक्स् डे आपका The innocent boy. Dine on days. Trinapana adibir. By grasses and leaves. Sinai, which were dry. Krita anna, made for his food. Abhyachayan, and thus continue his method of worship. Vibhum, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation. In the second month, Dhruva Maharaj ate only every 6 days. And for his eatables, he took dry grass and leaves. No sabji, no chapati, no dal, and no halwa. Can do that? Thus, he continued his worship. Next. Tritiyam chanayan masam navame navame hani abhaksha uttama slokam upadava samadina. In the third month, he drank water only every 9 days. Thus, he remained completely entranced and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by selected verses. Next one. Chatutam api vaimasam dvadase dvadase hani vayu bhakso jiva swaso dayan devam adarayat. In the fourth month, Dhruva Maharaj became a complete master of the breathing exercise, and thus he inhaled air only every 12 days. In this way, he became completely fixed in his position and worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Panchame masanu prapte jita swaso nipatmaja dayan brahma padaikena tastau stanu ivachala. By the fifth month, Maharaj Dhruva, the son of the king, had controlled his breathing so perfectly that he was able to stand on only one leg. And just as a column stands without motion and concentrate his mind fully on the Parabrahman. Savato mana akrisya vidhi bhutendriya sayam dayan bhagavato rupam nadrakshi kanchana param. He completely controlled his senses and their objects, and in this way he fixed his mind without diversion into anything else upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport by Sivan Krishna Prabhupada. The yogic principles of meditation are clearly explained here. One has to fix one's mind upon the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead without diversion to any other objective. It is not that one can meditate or concentrate on an impersonal objective. To try to do so is simply a waste of time, for it is unnecessarily troublesome, as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Om Agyana Timrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Shaksumalitam Yena Tasvangi Shikarve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Padale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Pasacha Deshatarine. So yesterday and today, We are reading the austerities performed by Dhruva Maharaj. Very severe austerities. When we read this kind of austerities, immediately our mind will think, wow. Like yesterday at Urban Yoga, I mentioned about Dhruva Maharaj austerities that we're going to be, we are reading in the temple now. The reaction from the audience was like, no way. No way. Don't even bother to ask me to do anything close to this. Right? We know just a few days ago we observed Ekadasi. Even for Ekadasi, for some devotees, they're already finding it hard. They just couldn't wait for the day to be over until next day they can dive into the rice and the grains and the chapatis. Right? But in ISKCON we often say, fasting means feasting. And so usually, my wife on Ekadasi usually make some extra endeavor, so to say. So it's never really an austerity. So austerity is essential. In fact, the whole creation was started with austerity. The first sound in the universe was tapas. When Brahma was sitting on top of the lotus, wondering what to do. So how did I end up here? Sitting on this lotus, looking around, complete darkness. And when we say darkness, it means complete darkness. There was no sun, no moon, no stars, nothing. Right? So being intelligent, trying to climb down the stem of the lotus, trying to find what is the source of this lotus, what is the source of my creation. He couldn't reach the end of it. And he gave up and climbed back on. And that goes to show, even Lord Brahma, supposed to be the most intelligent living being in the universe, he could not find the source of his creation by his own effort. So he gave up and he sat on top of the lotus. And then he heard the sound, tapas. But being highly intelligent, he knew what to do. So he performed austerities for a long time. Right? Performed austerities and penances. So the whole creation began with the austerities of Lord Brahma. And Krishna became so pleased with him that Krishna appeared before him and shook his hand. I'm very pleased by austerities. And thereupon, Krishna empowered him with the ability to create. So before one has, in order to actually have any strength or any power to do something wonderful in life, one always has to perform austerity. For example, children that go to school, mothers all know, you think they happily get up in the morning? Who? Do you get up in the morning without your mom and dad waking you up? Sometimes. How many times does he have to wake you up before you actually get out of bed? And you? Are you good, right? You wake up before the mom knock on your door. No? You see? As you get up, it's austerity. They go to school, learn something, learn how to write, learn how to add some basic knowledge. Then if they are good, they go further, they go to university and study and cram so much information into the head. And then the anxiety and the stress of exam, have to fulfill all the assignments, the handing assignments. There's so many other things you want to do. But no, I have to do my assignments. I do my tests, I have to do my homework. That's austerity. And it doesn't end there. Once you get the piece of paper, you go and job. And again, you rather just chant Hare Krishna all day or study Bhagavatam. But you have to get to work. You get up in the morning, drive in the traffic jam, or cram like sardines in the train, and go to work. That's austerity. Who enjoy going to work every day? Anyone? Oh, poor souls. You don't enjoy your work? You don't like what you're doing? You like God. Lucky fellow. So you heard the saying, if you like what you're doing, you'll never have to work a day in your life. So a lot of people, they will just work for a paycheck. But otherwise, Monday. That's why they call it the Monday blues. The Monday blues usually begins on a Sunday afternoon. My weekend is going to be over. I don't go to work. I remember those days. Depressing. So that's austerity. Everyone in the universe has to perform austerities. No matter what position we are in or what role we play, we cannot avoid it. But the question mark is, what kind of austerities do we perform to get the results that we want? Okay, it's necessary to put food on the table, to have a roof over the head, to take care of the family, so we work. So what are the austerities that we perform to achieve? So why do we think that to achieve the highest goal in life, we don't have to perform austerity? We shy away and say, oh, too much austerity. I do this, I do that. No. The only difference is that sometimes when we're in a situation, we have a mortgage to pay, we have the rent to pay, we have kids and wife and tagging at you, pay the bills, we've got to pay the bills. So we practically have no choice. We've got to work. Like it or not, we go to work. Since most of you didn't raise your hand, so it's not like you enjoy going to work. You just do it for a living. But the thing is that in spiritual life, it's not an immediate demand. That's why when I read Stephen Covey, the Seven Habits, I did a seminar in Mayapur, Seven Habits of Effective Vaishnavas. Effective Maharaj and now in Krishna, they actually commissioned the Stephen Covey people to go through all Prabhupada's book and find those seven principles in Prabhupada's book, and they came up with a whole hundreds of it. So the fourth quadrant, the first is that the in terms of time management, where you spend your time, the first one is urgent, number one. Urgent and important. Number two, important but not urgent. And then the other one is urgent but not important. And the fourth one, not important and not urgent. So, out of the four, you remember? Urgent and important? Important but not urgent? And then you have important? No. What's that again? Yeah. And then not important, not urgent. Which one is the most important? You look at our life, where do we spend most of the time? The first, second, third, or fourth? A lot of people spend all the time at number four. Absorb Facebook. Very important. Right? Hours and hours on Facebook. Bollywood. or Hollywood, or Mollywood, or whatever wood they have nowadays. All the different wood. Or, if we're passionate, we spend most of our time in doing urgent things. Urgent and important. But not enough time on important but not urgent. What would you think is important but not urgent? Tell me. What are the important things that we need to do but not urgent?
Meditation.
Pardon?
Meditation,
yes. What else? Let's say from a Krishna conscious perspective. Our sadhana. If one day you don't chant your round, one day you don't read Prabhupada's book, you're going to fall down? No. But if you don't take care of the not urgent thing but important thing, it becomes number one. Why people are always stressed out? Because they're not taking the care of the things that need to be done until they become urgent and important. And then we have deadline. Like kids sometimes when they go to school, it's the exam. We space out, space out, space out. Oh, I have to hand in the paper. And we stress and we stress. Then it becomes very urgent. But if we do something every day or do all the important things every day, you will never come to a state where it becomes urgent. Our devotion life will become just smooth. So where do we spend our time? So we have to spend our time doing something. Where do you spend our time? What kind of austerities do we perform? And what kind of goals do we want to achieve? So it's very important. Sometimes people say, I have no time, I don't have time, I don't have enough time. What do you mean you don't have time? We all have the same amount of time. It's not that you have 1 minute more than me. We all have 24 hours. Right? So what do we do with the 24 hours? What is important in our life where we spend most of the time for the 24 hours? That's why in the project of Krishna consciousness, there are these austerities put in the calendar. Fasting on the Ekadasi. Just in case you're not doing, okay, at least today, we perform some austerity. Fasting on special days, appearance of the Acharya, or appearance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fasting. Or we perform austerity. Or certain day we chant extra rounds, so on. So to keep us reminder. But if we actually make it clear in our goal what we want to achieve, then we just take whatever austerity and whatever obstacles in this stride. So what makes Dhruva Maharaj to perform such severe austerities? He was a young boy, not even older than them. And he just left home and performed these severe austerities that we cannot even imagine. Sometimes reverses in our life are good because it wakes us up, shake our whole foundation, and we start to think, wow, like a knock, wake up. And we have a complete different look at our life, like a spread out with a spreadsheet. Take stock of our life and say, ooh, not going well. Not doing good at all. It's just like the financial controller, they look at the spreadsheet, financial spreadsheet, say, ooh, not doing good. You got to do something different. You got to do something drastic. Just I was speaking with a devotee yesterday. He had a contract with the council, but it was expired a few months ago. He said they hired a new guy in head of department, and he came in and he fired how many? 10 or 100 people, or 30 people. He just fired. There you are. We are functioning above our budget. So they're all on 100,000, 150,000 a year. So 530 of them, straight away, 1 year they say four and a half, 5 million. So he came in and took stock of the situation. It cannot keep going like that. No, we are at a deficit. So sometimes reverse, because very often we go about our life, but just carried by the momentum of things, on autopilot. And so sometimes you just get knocked. Boom, take stock. I remember one time, Srila Maharaj, he was doing a leadership seminar. And he gave the example of a lion. Said the lion, why is the lion the king of the jungle? Because he has all his flanks covered. And he was also ferocious. He walked a few steps, and then he looked. And he continued. So in this way, make sure he's going in the right direction. But very often we don't take stock. We don't look. We just, like in Chinese, we say it's like a blind fly. Just, and just go forward. And happy. Happy, oh, I'm doing something. I'm doing something. Some self-development guru or business guru, they say, it's not a matter of just doing being busy. This is another disease. Just to be busy for the sake of being busy. We have to be busy with a specific goal, and that we're actually achieving what we want. That's why very successful people, that sometimes you don't see them doing a lot, because whatever their focus, whatever they do, is very effective. You can spend 1 hour just reading, but if the mind is all over the universe, you're not going to absorb much out of it. But if you focus for 10-15 minutes, read one or two slogans, really focus, you can get so much more. So it's not about how much time we spend, how focused we are on what we're doing. So what is it that drives Dhruva Maharaj to such an extreme that he left the comfort of the palace, the shelter of the home, the loving care of his mother, and go into deep forest where there's wild animals around to perform this kind of austerity? Because he faced with reversal. He was stung by the words of his stepmother, telling the child, who is the son of the king, that he is not allowed to sit on the lap of the father. Can you imagine? You want to go to your pita, you want to sit on his lap, someone tell you, said, no, you're not fit to sit on. He run off into a room and cry. And cry and cry and cry. And Dhruva Maharaj, he ran off and cried. But he was also determined. He had good mother who gave him instruction. He said, yes, what your stepmother said is true. I'm not the favorite wife. And if you want something, achieve something, you got to go to the forest. And what I've heard, the sages go to the forest to search for Narayan. So you acted as Dhruva Maharaj's first guru, pointing the way. Vatmavadasha guru, just pointing the way. And on the way he met Narada Muni, who became his actual guru, giving him instruction and telling him how to perform devotional service. And Narada Muni tested him. He said, why are you so upset? You're just a young boy. How can you be so upset just by the words of another person? So go home. So sometimes the guru also tests us. How determined are we? How tell me what to do? Tell me how I can achieve the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. And Narada Muni instructed him, and he went and did it. So, just because we take up devotional service, doesn't mean that our life now, from now on, is going to be smooth all the way. And sometimes devotees have this misconception, that I'm now a devotee, I've surrendered to Krishna. I've taken initiation, now my life is smooth, I shouldn't have any problem, because I've taken shelter of Krishna. I had this interesting discussion with one devotee just last week. We were having dinner, and at the end of the dinner, he dropped this on us, on me and my wife. He said, I want to hear your perspective. Why is there such some devotee, they chant the rounds, you know, they've been practicing devotional service for a few years, they're really sincere, very sincere devotee, they surrender to Krishna, they've embraced the process of Krishna consciousness. Dukkalayam Sasvatam. That's the two building block of this material world, is misery and temporality. So as long as we're in this world, we are faced with this, and there are threefold miseries. But Krishna consciousness equips us how to deal with it. It's not that it's not there, it's there, but how do you deal with it? So it became a bit of a discussion. It was very hard for him to accept. And I give different examples. Prahlad Maharaj, great devotee. And still he will put through so much difficulty. His father trying to kill him. But did he become disturbed? No. He said in verse 9, Vavijya Paradurati Janyas Thvaya Vavijya Paradurati Janyas. I forgot the verse. Anyway, he said, although I'm in this material world, I'm not disturbed. He has so many reasons to be disturbed. But he said, I'm not disturbed. Why? Because